First, a new rule from the Trump administration would block most Central Americans from claiming asylum in the United States. This new policy is scheduled to take effect tomorrow. It says that asylum seekers who pass through another country before reaching the U.S.-Mexico border will be ineligible for asylum. Instead, they'd have to make their claim in the country through which they passed. In a statement today, the American Civil Liberties Union vowed to, quote, sue swiftly. Rick Sue is a law professor at the University of North Carolina. He's an expert in immigration, citizenship, and asylum. Rick, great to have you back.
Great to be here.
How big a deal would you say this new policy is?
The policy itself, I would say, is probably one of the most significant moves by the Trump administration to both deter and limit immigration from Central American countries. Whether it will stand, however, I think is another question. But in terms of the numbers affected, this is by far the biggest.
And we're talking specifically about asylum seekers here. Remind us exactly what category that is.
So asylum seekers are humanitarian relief that we grant to individuals who are essentially fleeing for their lives, fear of persecution in their host country. For the most part, this was developed after World War II in response to the Holocaust. But since then, of course, there have been many circumstances in which it has arisen. And I think a lot of the violence in the Central American countries is pushing a lot of individuals right now up to the United States, which is why we're seeing a lot more family units as opposed to economic migrants.
And how difficult is it currently to be granted asylum to live in the U.S.?
Asylum is not easy to get. There is a lot of hoops you have to jump through, a lot of different criteria that must be met. Not only that you have a well-founded fear of persecution, but also on very specific grounds. And also, the asylum applicant carries all the burden of doing so. So in some ways, even being able to apply for asylum doesn't guarantee it. And in fact, most people don't get it. Mm. On the other hand, however, we have a process to ensure that everyone has the opportunity to apply, because out of the thousands that apply, there are a few that gets it, and they are in fact in fear of their lives. We don't want to be the one sending them back.
So if I'm reading this correctly, practically speaking, this new rule would basically eliminate asylum for pretty much anyone from Central America, because they would have to pass through Mexico first. That would trigger this, and they would then have to go and apply for it in Mexico or perhaps even another country that they've passed through. Is that a correct reading?
Yeah, that is a correct reading. There are a little bit of exceptions for individuals who are trafficked and other smaller groups, but I would say out about the 160,000 or so asylum claims that were filed last year from individuals coming from the southern border, this law would ban the vast majority of them, if not essentially all of them.
It seems that a fair number of the Central American migrants who would be coming and hoping to apply for and receive asylum, the countries that they might be passing through may not be in any better shape than the country from which they started. Is this realistic for them to even be able to do the application process in one of these other intermediate countries?
Yeah. So this is, I think, the one major issue. And it's not just a practical issue. It's in the law itself. Congress has actually written about safe third country requirements. And one of the things that they have required in the law is that not only should there be an agreement between the United States and those countries, but that they are safe and that there is a fair and full process for processing asylum claims. Though both of those second criteria, actually the first one as well with agreement, is questionable with regard to Mexico and certainly with regard to Guatemala, which is another country that the administration has mentioned that asylum seekers should be applying in before coming to the United States.
Oh, and I believe that President Trump was supposed to be meeting with the Guatemalan president partly to hammer out an agreement relating to this, but it turned out that the Guatemalan president would likely need the approval of their legislature instead of him being able to do it himself. Is that right?
Yeah. And this seems to be connected in part to that negotiation and a separate negotiation that the Trump administration has been working on with Mexico. In fact, one thing that was really interesting about the rule itself is that once you probe deeply into it, one of the motivations or one of the purposes of the rule, as it is stated, is to increase more leverage for these kind of negotiations. So this seems to be in response to maybe the failed and maybe some of the stalled negotiations that's going on, but it also seems to be an effort to, in some ways, push these countries to consider it in more detail. Of course, that doesn't necessarily deal with the issue of whether those countries are in fact safe or have a fair or full process for asylum applications.
We're talking with Rick Hsu right now. He's a law professor at the University of North Carolina. He's an expert in immigration, citizenship, and asylum. And we're talking about a new rule that would go into effect tomorrow that would further limit how and who could apply for asylum in the United States. In a statement, Rick, Attorney General William Barr said that the U.S., while generous, is overwhelmed with arresting and processing hundreds of thousands of migrants at the southern border. What is your understanding of the current conditions there?
Yeah, I do think that I do think Attorney General Barr is correct in this sense. We are overwhelmed. There is a lot of applicants. And in some ways, the facilities and institutions that we set up is not suited to this number of asylum applications. So in that case, that is absolutely correct. On the other hand, however, asylum was a rule developed in some ways to deal with crises, to deal with surges. It'd be strange to think that we would develop an asylum rule that only deals with one or two individuals applying, as opposed to, let's say, the Holocaust, in which an entire group of population of people are applying. So although I understand that there are a lot of difficulties, it is interesting that in some ways the humanitarian aspect of asylum in some ways foresees that there would be surges and that countries would in some ways have to step up to meet those.
The ACLU has said that the rule is, quote, patently unlawful. What is the argument behind that statement?
Yeah, so it seems to be that the argument that they're going to be raising is probably in relation to what Congress has written in law with regard to safe third country requirements, and probably suggesting that they have to follow the criteria that's set in law as by Congress, which requires agreements, a safe country, and a fair and full process for asylum. On the other hand, however, I believe that the administration will likely argue that there is a lot of other provisions in the law that give discretion to the attorney general, and that's a discretion that he's exercising. So there's going to be a little bit of a balance here with regard to the broad language and then the very specific language on safe third countries and asylum applications in those countries before coming here.
There has been a pretty steady stream of efforts from the Trump administration to crack down on asylum seekers and other types of migrants before. Nearly all of those efforts have been blocked by the courts, at least temporarily. What are some of those measures that the Trump administration attempted to put into place that are potentially on hold indefinitely?
Yeah, so there's been a number of them. The first in the beginning is just to change the substantive qualifications for asylum. And this dealt specifically to essentially barring claims with regard to domestic violence or criminal violence, gang violence within those specific countries. That's on hold right now. The more specific one that's related, I think, in this case is another one that actually specifically said that that asylum applicants have to come in through a port of entry in order to apply for asylum. And the reason why I think that one's interesting is because not only was it held up by a district court and a federal appellate court, but the Supreme Court actually refused to sort of stay the injunction in that particular case. And there's a lot of similarities in how that case is set up with how this case is set up in terms of what the administration is arguing and likely what opponents of the law will be arguing as well with regard to the language in the law.
And very briefly, Rick, before we wrap up, a lot of the language around these efforts has been deterrence. Is there any evidence that these are deterring people from coming north?
Yeah. So right now, the evidence is scarce. And we've certainly done a lot. Family separation, changing the substantive requirements. The numbers are flagging right now, but in some ways, that's probably related to the weather. And we certainly saw a spike before, and that was after the family separation policy. I believe the reason why this particular policy was set to go into effect tomorrow was probably in light of the fact that in order to be deterrence, there can't be too much warning. But on the other hand, I can see a lot of people seeing the writing on the wall and maybe surging on the border right now. So it's hard. Deterrence is a very hard thing to manage.
And we'll have to leave it there. Rick Hsu is a law professor at the University of North Carolina. He joined us to talk about a Trump administration rule that says if migrants pass through another country and don't apply for protection there, they cannot seek asylum in the U.S. That is set to take effect tomorrow.